Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. Later, his widow Elizabeth and their young daughter Valerie went to live with the same tribe for 2 years, teaching them about God and His love for them. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, back again today talking about unforeseen events. If there's one area in life which is bound to surprise us, it's marriage. Just the very fact of marriage didn't really seem like a very likely possibility to me. I thought it was a miracle that I got married the first time. It was, in a sense, an unforeseen event. Not that it was unlonged for. Ever since I can remember, I wanted to be a wife and a mother, and I sort of assumed that I would be when I was small, but then as I went through my teen years and found that I was not the sort of girl on whose door boys were knocking or whose phone was ringing, I began to think, maybe God wants me to be single. And as a matter of fact, I have been single more years than I've been married. That was unforeseen, too, after I got married the first time. But the Lord took my husband, my first husband, after 27 months of marriage, and my second husband, whom I married 13 years after the first one died. My second husband lasted 4.5 years. Then the Lord brought along my present husband, Lars Grin, a very great gift in my life. And marriage is a gift, isn't it? I trust you still see it that way if you've been married even for 50 years. Do you see it as a gift? But I think all of us who have been married would agree that one area in life which is bound to surprise us is marriage. Yesterday, a letter came from a woman who had expected to be married, and she's still single. We read that letter. Now we have a letter from one who hardly dared to hope that she would be married, and she is married. But what surprises were in store? Let me read this letter. She says that she was greatly helped and challenged by the account of Jim Elliot's unswerving focus on Christ and the courtship and marriage that gave to her the hope that God could indeed bring marriage to one who waits and seeks to resist the temptation to compromise. Indeed, she says, "When I was 27, God did choose to give me the gift of a man who truly desired to honor Christ with his life. He was one of the most teachable people I had ever met. He sought God. After we married, I began to see the faithfulness of God in so many ways. God had given me a man who would sharpen, exhort, and love me into Christ-likeness. Indeed, it was his goal to present me faultless before the throne. It wasn't always easy to receive his input or to submit to him. Yet I always rested in the knowledge that Michael, my husband, had his eyes fixed firmly on the Lord, Jesus Christ, and more importantly, that God had ordained our union. After 2 children and 5.5 years of marriage, my husband died of cancer. We were living in Boston at the time he was diagnosed with malignant melanoma. He was finishing a master's degree in philosophy at Tufts University, working hard toward what he believed to be a call to represent Christ in the secular university setting. His cancer presented itself as a brain tumor and subsequently spread throughout his body. He died March 21, 1993, 13 months after the initial diagnosis. His hunger for God in his last year was great. There were times of darkness and apparent silence. Yet I watched my husband cling to the truth of the Word of God. I, however, was not as certain. I did not know what I was going to believe if God took my husband. Somehow I believed I was going to be at the mercy of my circumstances. Instead, after Michael died, I found myself at the mercy of God. In the midst of the pain and finality of his passing, I found an overwhelming sense of the sovereignty of God. Never before had I been so humbled and absolutely reduced. Who was I to question what God had ordained? If I believed in the absolute sovereignty of God, then I could not deny him the right to plan both the life and death of my husband. My comfort was in knowing, not necessarily feeling, that these circumstances were not by chance, but by design. In the months following Michael's death, I found no real encouragement except in the Word of God. I experienced the living and active nature of it like never before. When I found my perspective distorted by my feelings, or more pointedly, when I was tempted by despair, God met me in His Word, reminded me of His character, and restored hope. Even now, 18 months hence, I cannot stray far or long from the truth contained in that book, the Bible. I knew of its importance before, but God had to take extreme measures to see me apply that knowledge. Not only did I cling to the Word, but I decided to steer clear of grief books and groups. I believed that Christ had asked me to walk this road, and that He would equip me to do so. I feared that books and groups would indulge too much analysis of the process and focus too heavily on me and my feelings. So far, my perspective on this has not changed, but now I come to the reason for this letter. I'm 34 years old with two girls, ages 5 and 3. I have no idea what God has in store for the remainder of my earthly life. What I do know is that I am called to raise these girls in the knowledge and love of God. He has provided for me to be able to stay at home full-time for this task, for which I am thankful. Recently, a friend asked me to review a contemporary Christian book written by a widow. The author basically tells her story and quotes other young widows throughout. Not having read any of this literature, I did not really know what to expect. What I found was very disheartening. There is a sense in which these women view their station, being a widow, as something only to be endured and overcome. They are survivors and encourage one another to embrace their, quote, new identity, unquote, as single women. There's talk of God throughout, but He appears to be one with whom they merely consult, as opposed to one to whom they unreservedly and humbly submit. That sentence really struck me. Let me read that one again. He appears to be, in the lives of these women that she's referring to, one with whom they merely consult, as opposed to one to whom they unreservedly and humbly submit. There seems to be no sense of the sovereignty of God in the lives of these women. The pain and sorrow is something to be avoided and repulsed rather than received and embraced. They describe similar thoughts and feelings to that which I experienced in losing a husband, but their framework appears to be subtly yet powerfully shaped by today's ruggedly individualistic and therapeutically oriented culture. I want to learn from those who have gone before, yet the role models do not appear to be as common as I had hoped. Very insightful letter. That woman is humbly accepting what God has allowed in her life, what God has sent as a gift of widowhood. Mary Frances Butts wrote, "Build a little fence of trust around today. Fill the space with loving works, and therein stay. Look not through the sheltering bars upon tomorrow. God will help thee bear what comes of joy or sorrow. The fear of man, says Proverbs 29:25, will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Now, we talked about marriage being a surprise and containing the unexpected. Have you thought about the ancient words of the old marriage ceremony? Let me read it to you. Wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her so long as ye both shall live? And then to the woman, wilt thou have this man to thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him? And then the vow, I, so-and-so, take thee, so-and-so, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death us do part. It's unforeseen whether it's going to be better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness or health. But that's what marriage is about, isn't it? A commitment for life in the presence of God and witnesses, till death us do part. May God make us faithful, no matter what the unforeseen events may be.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.